T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
WGR Sports Radio 550 and WGR550.com. Sports Update.
It was just announced a few minutes ago that Zach Bogosian has undergone successful hip surgery and will be out anywhere from 5 to 6 months. Stay tuned for more on that. The Dallas Stars advanced to the second round of the playoffs in their 2-1 overtime win in Game 6 against the Preds last night. John Klingberg scored 2:58 left in overtime. Ben Bishop made 47 saves for Dallas. Stars will play St. Louis Blues in the second round. The Carolina Hurricanes avoided elimination in Game 6 with a 5-2 victory over the Capitals. Carolina scored 3 goals in the third period in the win. Jordan Staal, Dougie Hamilton each had a goal and an assist. Peter Mrazek made 23 saves. The series is now tied 3-3, with Game 7 taking place tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m. in Washington. There are 2 Game 7s taking place tonight. The Bruins will host the Maple Leafs in Boston at 7 p.m. This will be the 5th time the teams have played a Game 7 in the Stanley Cup playoffs, where Boston has won 3 of them, including last season. The Golden Knights will be in San Jose taking on the Sharks for a 10 p.m. puck drop. This will be the 11th Game 7 for the Sharks and the first for the Golden Knights, who didn't play one in their inaugural season. Tune into One Bills Live from noon to 3 today for previews on the 2019 NFL Draft with John Murphy, Steve Tasker, as well as guests Sports Illustrated's Gary Gramling and NFL Network's Brian Baldinger. The 2019 NFL Draft begins on Thursday, where the Bills hold the 9th pick overall. The Falcons announced yesterday that defensive tackle Grady Jarrett signed his franchise tag tender on a 1-year deal for $15.2 million. And the Falcons also agreed to terms with veteran safety J.J. Wilcox on a 1-year deal. And stick around and wait to hear what today's National Day is.
What is the National Day?
Daw charging after it. Clear right out in front. Backhand by Head and he scores! Dave Haddon is mobbed by his teammates. Dave Haddon finally put away the backhand. And this series is going back to where Jimmy Hoffa is. Back to the Meadowlands in New Jersey. After 5 minutes and 43 seconds of overtime in the fourth overtime period, the Buffalo Sabres get on the board.
Well, that was 25 years ago. And 25 years later, we still cannot confirm if that is where Jimmy Hoffa is. But I can tell you that that was one of the greatest
goals. I think forensics have advanced in that period of time. We probably have the answer.
Oh. Dave Hannon.
You know what I just realized on that clip we just
Where
saw?
Were you?
What? In bed.
The clip I just saw right here.
100% in bed.
So terrible. Dave Hannon scored a goal, right?
Yeah.
What a, when you think about it, a terrible play for a guy that's on his backhand to not let the guy on his forehand pick up the puck. So Dog Bodger, number 4, mm-hmm. is coming in right behind Dave Hannon, and he's on his forehand. He could have picked up the puck and have the wide open end in his forehand, and Dave Hannon has it on his backhand.
Was it Bodger?
No.
It wasn't Bodger, number 4.
So, no, okay, who's 4?
I don't know, longer name than that, but...
We did.
Oh, you know who that was? That might have been Zhitnik. No, it wasn't Zhitnik.
I don't know. What year was that? 1993.
Yeah. Well, 25 years ago, Marty.
Look it up.
Carry the 2.
But stuff was gonna look, but 94. So it wasn't Doug Bodger. It was somebody else, number 4. And Twitter will probably.
And I agree
up
with you.
Answer.
He had the
wide open
right-handed
net.
Shot. You get a lefty grabbing it on the back.
Philippe Boucher.
It was Philippe Boucher.
That's probably why
the
Hannon
French guy
took
wouldn't
it.
Have scored.
Well, Boucher would have wanted to wind up
full slap shot
and blast it home. In that situation, I'm going to give Hannon all the credit in the world
for
just finishing
I'm just saying,
the game.
I'm just Berger saying
had the read on it, too.
He was also interfered with. I mean, today's world, that's not going to count, probably.
I'm just picking on Dave Hannon because in 1995, mm-hmm. And maybe it was more 96, January of 96, we had a rookie dinner at High's Steakhouse in Winnipeg, and I tried to shoe check Dave Hannon, and he threw a glass of red wine at me, and my shirt and suit had to go to the dry cleaner. So
you have some nerve trying to shoe check.
He was the oldest Dave guy on the team, and that was a challenge that was put to me, and Donald Odette sewered me because I talked to Donald and I said, Donald, let me go by you. And he says, okay, Marty, you go by me and everything.
You should have just gone up to Dave Hannon and said, Donald Odette wants me to do this and I don't feel comfortable attempting this.
Who scored more goals that season, Boucher or Hannon?
With that question, I'll guess Boucher.
Both had six, but, oh. But Boucher did it in 38 games and Dave Hannon did it in 83.
That was 84 games. Game season.
84 game season. Yeah. Brad May, Richard Schmelick, Randy Wood all played in all 84 for Buffalo that year.
84 game season, man.
Must
plus 10 preseason, 20 playoff. Right. You're playing 120 games a year.
Yeah, sadly they only had 7 playoff. But
it's a pretty good day today in the National Day Department. I got to get this out because normally, they're hot and cold. Like they're hit and miss, however you want to say it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Today is. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
I don't know which one's my favorite. It's National Take a Chance Day, which reminds me of your ABBA song that
you love.
Take
a chance on me.
Take a chance, take a chance, take a chance. Okay. It's National Cherry Cheesecake Day, which is my favorite cheesecake.
Cherry cheesecake.
There you go, Duffer.
That's not New York style. That's cherry cheesecake.
Well, so there would be style. Cherries on, like cherries and cherry, like cherry on top, like the cherry on top of the cheesecake.
No, that's probably the cheesecake is actually cherry.
Well, but you know what, Marty? To each their own, you know? Like, let me have my cherry cheesecake. You have whatever the hell you want. It's National Picnic Day, which is interesting. Couldn't have put that one in June. Let's have National Picnic Day for only, I don't know, the West Coast?
Yesterday would have been good.
Yesterday would have been good. Yeah. You know, we can't predict the weather around here.
No.
National Have a Picnic Day. Okay. That was great. Somebody came up with that lives in Arizona.
Yeah.
And it's National Talk Like Shakespeare Day.
That's the one Kelly said.
That's the one Kelly said. Do we dare? No, I'm not going to do it.
I can't do it.
I can't. I won't.
I don't want to do it.
English was my worst subject, largely because of Shakespeare. So.
Well, I'm not saying I'm not going to quiz you on Shakespeare here, okay? Like, look who's talking over here, but I will say this.
Hey, you might have done better at school than I did.
Petey, you're good with quoting movies. Can you quote Romeo and Juliet?
Romeo, oh, Romeo, where art thou, my Romeo?
That's pretty good.
The Capulets and the Montagues.
The accent, yes. The exact terminology, probably not.
Probably not.
Sire, did I pronounce the names properly? I don't know that Shakespeare would have used that. But anyway, moving on. Rickard Gronberg, a candidate for the Sabres coach, it appears the Buffalo Sabres could look to Europe in their search for a new head coach. This is not breaking news, but according to Scott Burnside of The Athletic, the Sabres have thrown Rickard Gronberg's, I say Rickard, every time I see that, Rickard's red.
Rickard's red.
Immediately.
Rickard's white.
Like, oh, makes me want to start drinking again. Rickard Gronberg named into the mix after missing out on Todd McClellan, who joined the Los Angeles Kings last week. Gronberg, 50, is currently serving as head coach of Sweden's men national team and set to pursue a third straight gold medal in 3 years with the team at next month's World Hockey Championship. He served as Sweden's coach under the under 20 team from 2014 to 16 before making the leap to head coach of the men's team. So there you have it. Rickard Gronberg. Duffer, I asked you this before the show.
Mm.
I cannot remember what you said.
I don't recall the question.
What would your thoughts be on Rickard Gronberg? You said you liked the idea.
Well, I mean, for the first time ever, the organization is really delving into Swedish prospects, and as fate would have it, I mean, they have a number of potentially prominent players moving forward for this team, hailing from that country. Mm-hmm. So common sense says if you're ever going to go in this direction, now might be the time. But I can't sit here and say with any great certainty whether he would be the right fit for the entire group beyond those who are from that Scandinavian country.
Marty, can I chime in on a thought? And then I'd rather do this so you can, you know,
I want to hear what
fired,
you have to say.
You know, breathe fire down my throat here. So I like the idea for the reason of, I think we've all titled Jack the face of the franchise, but I mean, if I kind of feel like Rasmus Dahlin might be swaying that way a little bit, like he could be the face of the franchise, kind of like an Erik Karlsson, or I wouldn't say Hedman is because Tampa Bay is so strong, but on any other team, you think he might be. Mm-hmm. So maybe if you're thinking more about how to, I guess, I don't know what the right word would be. I don't want to say build Dahlin into the player that you think he could be, but maybe coach Dahlin more of a style, that suits Dahlin's game. Is there any merit to that?
I have no idea. Like, you can tell me, what style does he coach? I have no idea. I have not seen really him behind the bench. I've watched the World Championship.
A relationship with a player of that magnitude, maybe from the same country?
I really have no idea what, I'm not going to say Rickard, because is it Rickard?
Let's call him Rick.
Rick.
Rick Gronberg.
I don't know that he would like that. So Rickard Gronberg, I have no idea what he's about. And so it'd be foolish for me to say, he's, great structure and he can talk to the young guys. I have no idea. Do I like the idea of branching out to Europe? Maybe. But again, I still believe that what I would like to see here in Buffalo is an experienced head coach. Preferably for me would be an experienced NHL head coach. If that can't be a guy that has head coaching experience, either at the AHL level or in Europe, professional leagues, whatever. But that would be a second kind of, a second step.
So what about all they're doing is talking to him. They,
maybe he comes into an interview and he blows their mind.
Right.
And you're
which
like,
which is why,
well,
I think he should be in the interview process at the very least anyway.
Right. Yes.
That's how you get to what you need.
You're not
to get
doing
to.
Yourself any favors by closing your door to that. You keep your options open. Keep the philosophies open. Maybe there's something you hear that maybe he's not the guy that you say, never thought about that before, but you're not the guy, but we might use that anyway. I mean, that has to be done in every interview process.
And I agree with what you're saying in that who are we to sit here and try to project what he could become based on what you've heard about how he conducts his game management. But the one thing, and Petey just said the word, is philosophy. The one thing that you do get glimpses of with Gronberg right now, because of the speculation, is little quotes here and there that he's uttered about how he looks at young players and team building and things like that. That's all you can base it on. His words, in quotations, when he's asked about certain things. And I've liked those aspects of what Gronberg seems to project right now. So take that for what it's worth. It's all we have at this point in time.
Great country to pull from, though, because the Swede players are awesome. They're the outside of North America. I think they might even be better than some of the North Americans.
100% they are.
I mean,
they develop hockey really well in Sweden. They've developed players. They've developed
people.
Goaltenders. They've developed exactly people. And I do believe Sweden, of all the European countries that have high level of hockey, have done it with a North American approach to their development. They were the first one to say, we're going to go from international ice size to the NHL North American ice size and kind of build our game with physicality, with strength, with speed. And to me, you look, if you have Russians, they come in, a lot of them are very much more skills, like the one-on-one game. Have everybody's got their own ways. I think the Swedes and the Finns, for that matter, too. Those two countries are very similar. Have developed an attitude towards North American hockey that is very evident right now in the way the game is going.
I'll tell you one thing for sure is that he'll know who Dolph Lundgren is.
He'll know.
If you want to date back to that, absolutely catastrophic Rasmus Dahlin interview when we asked him about
It was fantastic.
I thought it was pretty great too. I had a lot of, you know, but I mean, I think, you know, I think people were expecting like a Wolf Blitzer like interview, and I just don't think that was
and,
coming.
And when Rasmus is not that guy, he wants you want to just talk to an 18-year-old kid. You're not going to throw in his views on war on world peace. It's not good.
Well, legitimate question with Bjorn Borg or Salming socks and underwear and T-shirts and stuff. It's like Lululemon over here.
Yep.
It's even bigger, maybe. Let me ask you this. Why does Gronberg have to be interviewed for the head coach job? I mean, why? I mean, I'm sure you could probably, depending on what it is he would want, I mean, if there's any other NHL opportunities out there for him, but why wouldn't he even consider
it? Which there obviously are.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Rest, right. And we don't know if any other teams are looking at sure. talking to him, but why wouldn't, would he not, in your opinion, come over as an assistant coach if they decided, we love your philosophy?
He's 50 years old, so my guess is he's aiming for the highest position there is.
Yep.
The question that goes hand in hand with what you're asking is presented on Twitter to me.
Well, Cousin Eddie was looking for a management position, but he wasn't necessarily going to get it. You know what I mean?
How important is the assistant coach in all of this? So let's say he's right. only fixated on coming in as a head coach, and that's understandable. Again, at age 50 and with his track record, I get that. But how can you offset his lack of NHL experience by appropriating the right assistant coach? I mean, and do you run a risk? Do you run a risk of having associate coaches, which has the potential to undermine him if things go wrong?
An associate coach is a title. I look,
but it can be a belief organizationally too, where you want an increased role for the guy who's not just an assistant.
I don't like it. And for me, an associate coach is, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it's basically having an assistant coach that has more experience, the ability to pay him more. To say you're an associate coach, so it's like a goalie coach, like a Mitch Korn and a Benny Allaire. Mm-hmm. Those guys were goaltender coach and assistant coaches. Why? So that added title gave the organization a chance to give him money.
Or maybe like it's so that it's not considered a lateral move from one team to the other.
It could be
if you go to lure an assistant coach from another team, like Lindy Ruff.
We had Davis Bayne as an associate coach here.
Yeah.
I think it was more to say there is a head coach, there is a main assistant, mm-hmm. and then the other group of coaches all kind of come under the same umbrella.
Right.
So, but it gives the ability to basically pay that guy more money.
If you were jumping all in on Gronberg, what would you think? Or expect their assistant coaches to look like in support of him.
Well, again, I
wasn't kidding when I said Lindy.
When did you say that?
An associate
about
coach?
About 10 seconds ago.
Just really?
But I
must have been looking at you again.
Well, you were captivated by his eyes.
Sorry. It's been too long.
So Scott Arneil was an associate coach to L.A. Vigneault in New York. Lindy was an assistant coach in New York with Samuelson at the time, and then he moved on. But I think here's the potential issues with Gronberg as a coach here in Buffalo is he doesn't have relationships very much with any North American coaches that you bring in. So his staff would be either a staff of people that have never worked together, because you want some NHL experience on your coaching staff. So you want to come in and look at number one, the coaching staff that you have right now, Davis Bayne, Steve Smith, Chris Hite, Andrew Allen. Mm-hmm. So you're looking at, okay, is this a staff that I can work with or not? But if it doesn't work with the staff that you have right now, what does your staff look like? Mm-hmm. Because you can't say, I'm going to interview these guys that I've never worked with. Usually there's chemistry between coaches. There's an understanding. I don't want to call it an old boys club, but there is a certain group of coaches that always seem to work together.
That's true.
Guy Boucher and Mark Crawford went to Europe to coach in the Swiss League. They told each other, if one of us get an opportunity in the NHL, the other one's coming with.
Right. So, but guess what? It doesn't always and quite often, like, it doesn't work. That's why Ottawa's going through it again. Like, there's no guarantees that this
they
old boys network.
They were a goal away from the conference finals.
I think
the game's getting to the point now where you got to find the right fit for that coach, let alone, like, instead of, you know, trying to hire your buddy and think that it's going to be, I'm going to be a great coach because I'm working with my buddy. I'm going to be happy every day and we're going to be on the same page. Well,
yeah.
I don't know that always is a good recipe.
Look, John Tortorella, Mike Sullivan, Jim Schoenfeld is a really good example. So Torts was an assistant to Schoenfeld in Arizona with the Coyotes. And then Torts went to Tampa as a head coach and had Mike Sullivan as a player.
Yep.
Sullivan ends up being a coach in Boston. And then Torts needed an assistant coach after and, you know, had him as a player, so brought in Mike Sullivan. They went to New York together. They went to Vancouver together. They went to New York because Schoenfeld was an assistant general manager and said, come back to me. So there is those relationships that are really strong that work. There is some relationships that are really strong that don't work.
Right, but Mike Sullivan won without them, ultimately.
Ultimately,
and Tortorella didn't win with them. You know what I'm saying here?
Yes.
There's no, the point is, there's no guarantee
there's
in any
no guarantee.
Of this. And you, it, so you can be anti-old boys network. You can be all in on new wave. Just let him run the show. Bring in the assistants that he feels are going to be best. And I can't sit here and dispute any of them. Because
no, you're right.
There is no exact science to what ultimately presents team success. And St. Louis might be the best living example of that right now.
We are talking about Rickard Gronberg, a candidate for the Sabres. Coach,
I would think Rivs will have so much trouble with that name.
I'm going to bring in a six pack of Rickard's Red for him. Put him right here on the desk.
He'll then have no trouble.
We have to do a quick buy sell trade presented by Buffalo Sports. Go to Buffalo Sports where you can buy, sell, and trade new and used sports equipment. And this one dates all the way back to when the president of the Dallas Stars,
Jim Lights.
He didn't lights. He lit up his couple of his players, basically saying, "Get your head out of you know where." And it was Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin. And buy sell trade. Stars president changed the course of their season by ripping Benn and Seguin.
I'm gonna trade this because I never like a president coming down and acting the way Jim Lights did. I think Jim Montgomery needed a couple of months to get himself going. And I don't think Seguin and Ben really have been lights out or were lights out even after that. I think it's just a structured team with a really good goaltender, a solid group of D that has pulled the Dallas Stars into the playoffs and into the situation they're in right now. So,
but you're trading, not selling.
I'm selling. Sorry. Oh. Sorry. I'm selling. Oh. I don't like Jim Lights and his comments.
Go ahead, Duffer.
Well, that's too bad because I wanted to be unique and say sell, but I'll join Marty in the sale of that because
we're always
I think,
together, Duffer.
I'm sensing that even in the off season. There's just too many other things that have gone right, and especially now for Dallas, I think what you're seeing is they're finally getting some secondary scoring, noticeable, not only scoring but just noticeably really good shifts from a lot of guys that just weren't on the radar earlier in the year. So I think it's more of a team effort, and I don't think it's all about Ben and Seguin, you know, carrying this team at this point in time.
I am buying it, and it has nothing to do with Ben and Seguin. It has everything to do with everyone else on the team saying, oh, if he's going to say that about them, what's he going to say about us if we don't pull our socks up? Coach included, assistant coach, goaltenders, team all together. So I'm going to buy it. I could be wrong, but I don't care. I'm going to buy it. I believe it. I think if we're playing on a team, Marty, and the president of the team says something or makes a statement about your star players, you're going to be angry because he said something about your star players and you're a unit, you know, and you stick together and whatever, but you also kind of like, oh, stand at attention and you think, well, I better
pull
my socks up.
From the comments of Ben after the episode happened, it was not a stand at attention. It was more like a stay in your office and mind your own business.
Yeah, and let's not forget.
But those are those two players that can say that. The other guys can't.
Yeah, but the comments were directed.
But one name that hasn't been mentioned.
Radulov?
Heiskanen.
Oh, Heiskanen.
There you go.
Like, they're not having this year without his contributions to him, so. Sorry, Jim.
Yeah.
And Marty's contributions. And if Duffer had one.
Duffer has a couple contributions for Dis or Dat.
Then let's
fantastic.
Get out of here so we can get to Dis or Dat right here on the Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG.
Welcome back to the Instigators. And this is going to be a bonus Dis or Dat this morning, PD and Duffer, because I've got a few. And Duffer decided to join in on the fun
challenged.
A couple of Dis or Dat. And so let's get mine out of the way so we can get to Duffer's because they're pretty good.
Get the bad ones out of the way first.
Listen, you know, I was going to do a Game 7 edition, but there was a Game 6 last night, and it ended. But I'm asking you this or that. Who is more important to the Stars? Jamie Benn or Taylor Seguin? This or that?
Benn.
Benn.
Captain. Physical. And you need physicality. Taylor Seguin is a great goal scorer, great, you know, point producer. But I don't know that he's gonna be your most reliable guy in all areas of the ice and in a scrum or needing to make the big hit when push came to shove. So Jamie Benn.
Okay. Duffer, you said Benn. Same reason?
Not exactly the same reason, but I think even just based on the most recent example, which was last night, Benn's name was prominent throughout. I feel like he, for whatever reason, and I think the margin here between the two and their potential importance and impact on the team is very small. But I feel like Benn has been the more consistent at this time of year, and for whatever reason, I'm taking Jamie Benn.
Okay, I like Benn too, but I just wanted to see if there was a little love for Taylor Seguin, and I guess not on this show. Okay, better playoff schedule.
It's Taylor Seguin, by the way.
Seguin. Right. No, that's Rives.
Oh,
Rives.
Craig calls him Taylor.
PK Subban.
Taylor and Tyler's mixed up.
PK Subban. Anyway.
PK Subban.
Subban. Better playoff schedule. So, do you guys like how they mix East and West now, and they kind of staggered the games so you can all be able to catch all the action? Or the old days when one day was just the East and the next day was just the West, and they went back and forth between East and West? I'm asking you, this or that, better playoff schedule, the old days or now?
Now, because you get the doubleheaders.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
When you know, otherwise you're watching all those games at the same time. You're going boom, 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 boom down the, you know, and now you get the doubleheader. Spread them out.
Okay.
Duffer, you.
What?
Influence
I'm
me. Not going to make my finish my comment. Go ahead.
I will say this. I still long for the old days of the playoffs when you started and you had games on back-to-back days. Which was amazing, and it didn't matter to me what was going on in the other conference or the other division, because you were just all in on your team playing on back-to-back and trying to get an upper hand, whether it was in a best of five like in the early 80s or best of sevens. But yes, from a viewer, fan, consumption standpoint, the league is trending in the right direction with how they're structuring things now. They can still get better at separating games and staggering them from not 7 and 8 o'clock starts to more like last night where you had 7 and 8:30 starts, which allow, and again, there's a million factors that go into that, arena availability, travel, things like that. But they're going in the right direction, so nowadays, yes.
Tonight is what, 7 and 10?
Perfect.
Two game sevens, 7 and 10, so you even have a chance for a snack in between the Leafs-Bruins game before Vegas and San Jose starts.
Oh, you're not predicting overtime, apparently.
No overtime tonight. Okay, how about this? More likely to be in the news tomorrow in Toronto. Vlad Jr. hits his first home run in his first MLB game, or the Leafs win game 7. And I have to say this. Up until yesterday, it looked like Vladimir Guerrero Jr. was going to get called up tonight to play for the Jays. It hasn't happened yet. So it could still happen during the day, and they call him up. I think they're playing the Giants. But it is very unlikely that it will happen. So use that in your this or that. More likely to happen. Vlad Jr. hits a home run tonight in his MLB debut, or Leafs win game 7. This or that.
Most likely to happen?
Yeah.
Leafs.
Okay.
I don't want the Leafs to win, but they're going to win.
You're doing reverse psychology.
You
I
think
like
I'm
that.
Doing reverse psychology, Marty?
Duffer.
You'll see.
Well, Vlad, obviously.
Because you're not doing reverse psychology. You do not want the Leafs to win. You think Vlad is going to get called up at 6:38 for a 7 o'clock game?
I think he's already there.
Is he?
You know, I don't know. I mean, you know how these transactions work.
I thought you were giving me the scoop. Okay. And then now let's turn it over to Brian Duff for his this or that this morning.
Okay. We discussed it earlier in the show, so it comes up again now. Nashville power play or Maple Leafs penalty kill. This or that.
Ooh. Well, what is...
I mean, Nashville's power play.
I would think Nashville's power play.
I'll tell you what. If your PK's not going... your power play is not scoring, that's one thing. You can get goals 5-on-5. You can even get, nowadays, you can even get goals shorthanded. But if your PK is not going, it could bury a team. It's going to bury Toronto tonight.
I think Toronto's...
Get it? See what I just did?
Yeah.
It's going to bury Toronto tonight.
Yeah, you're just...
You didn't say they're going to lose, though.
You're
they could win. They could win 6-4 in
you're
less than 3.
On the fence.
PK gives up 4 out of 6.
Yeah. I think Toronto's PK, it is what it is.
Yeah.
They're not good. Mm. It is the Nashville power play that has to continue finding the right shot options to score goals. So I think the right answer is Nashville PP right here.
All right. So it's basically like a moving forward. Which would you want, Nashville power play or Toronto PK?
Yeah.
Some point. In one of these years, Nashville's power play is going to figure it out. Okay. it's dictionary update time. Merriam-Webster putting a whole slew of new words and phrases into, common use for people that still go to the dictionary for, that little clarification that we all need from time to time.
Only used for Scrabble, Duffer.
Yes.
So, I'm going to present buzzy or bottle episode. Favorite new words added to Merriam-Webster.
What is bottle episode?
Okay, I'm glad you asked, Marty.
I'm having a bottling episode right now. I'm bottling up all this emotion.
Bottle episode is an inexpensively produced episode of a television series that is typically confined to one setting.
Like us?
Buzzy is...
Is that like bottle episode? Is that more like a YouTube like show? Or
it's
that
an inexpensively produced episode of a television series that is typically contained...
Clearly you don't know how much we
setting.
Make, Duffer.
Okay.
Buzzy is causing or characterized by a lot of speculative or excited talk or attention. That is generating buzz. So what do we like? Do we like buzzy? Do we like bottle episode, this or that?
I like buzzy because I'm very buzzy. For me, it's all about buzzy. Say that again. Buzzy?
Buzzy. Like generating buzz.
I'm
causing or characterized by a lot of speculative or excited talk.
That's
or
how
attention.
I'm talking. I'm speculative and excited. I'm buzzy.
All right.
Create buzz. I like buzz. Petey.
Is this kind of like the GM there in Toronto saying culture's a buzzy word? It's a buzzword. Do you remember that? What's his name there? Dubas?
Tal Dubas?
He said culture's a buzzword when he first became general manager.
This is not that.
This is not that.
No, this is
I didn't. Bottle episode. Buzzy.
Buzzy.
All right. Because
they're two terrible
bottle
choices.
Episode to me sounds like my kids are in their bedroom and they create a TV show that they want to put on YouTube about slime.
All right. So it's a bottle episode.
And so
but it's
got to
stay
episode.
In their room. That's where
it cannot be in the backyard. Right. It cannot be in the kitchen. It has to be in their room. And to me, bottle episode, that's exactly what I think of when I hear that word.
I hope that's not a foreshadowing of our professions, Marty.
Confined to one setting?
Well, we are confined to one setting.
But I was talking about the low budget part.
Well, right. Yeah, that's true. We're not a bottle episode. What's the opposite? Can you search the opposite?
What are some other words going in, Duffer? If these are two.
Oh, okay. How about the traumatology?
Traumatology.
Yes, I can
the
relate to that too. I'm sure
the study, diagnosis, and treatment, and treatment severe acute physical injuries of wounds and injuries sustained by individuals requiring immediate medical attention. How about bioabsorbable, capable of being absorbed by living tissue?
Whoa.
Yeah.
So
that kind of makes you think.
So you think biodegradable
so is
one
like
word, but bioabsorbible? So it absorbs.
A little out of my realm. Not nearly enough. Not
there's a PhD
enough.
Next to Marty's name, but that's only when it comes to goalie analysis.
And let me ask
in the
you
playoffs.
This. Is the black hole bioabsorbable because it absorbs living things?
I don't know. Would
living
a leech
tissue?
Be in it at the end of this night?
Jeez. Yeah.
We have another. I seriously want to hear some more words that are going in there.
Oh, Duffer. Gosh. Page view. I think you know that one.
Page view.
Instigator's website gets a lot of those.
Okay. So that is. Oh, nice.
Gig economy. Economic activity that involves the use of temporary or freelance workers
is
to perform
GIF
jobs
in
typically
yet?
In the service sector.
Is GIF in the dictionary?
GIF.
You mean GIF?
GIF. It's
is
a
it GIF or GIF?
It's a GIF. It's not a GIF. It's
is
a GIF.
GIF the peanut butter?
Yes.
Okay, that's where I got confused.
Bottom surgery is now new.
Pardon me?
Bottom surgery is now new.
Bottom surgery.
A type of gender confirmation surgery in which a person's genitalia are altered to match their gender identity.
Well, with that being said, I will stick to the Oxford
bottom
dictionary.
Bottom surgery,
Duffer.
Pretty simple, isn't it? See, the league can really play off of this with upper body and lower body.
Lower
right?
body. You got a bottom body injury. So
that's what happens when you deal with the Merriam-Webster. Stick to Oxford.
Hey, GIF is in the Merriam-Webster dictionary. Definition of GIF, a computer file format for the compression and storage of visual digital information. Oh, wait, but it's there's two pronunciations. Pronunciation.
GIF.
Or?
GIF.
It can be both pronounced, GIF or JIF, so you were correct.
Not unlike bottom surgery.
No, that is only one pronunciation.
No, but it can be both.
A common mistake by someone trying to become bilingual.
What?
Misunderstanding words and how.
Well, no,
how,
this is definitely well, that, in the 21st
how G's
century.
Can be hard and soft, and you know, like understanding letter. Remember how we said hesh for H? G can be g or j.
Well, this is because GIF is universally being used.
And my son is literally learning this in kindergarten.
How do you say your brother's name?
Jeff. Ooh, there you go. My brother's Jeff with a G.
It's a G E O F F.
The British way.
G E O F F, right?
G E O F F.
Because if it was G O E F F, it would be Goff.
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 It's funny that you say that. My brother was playing, they announced goals back in Kiwanis hockey, and the guy was calling him Goff Peters.
Goff Peters.
Yeah.
That's bad. Anyway, how about you get us out of here?
It's your segment.
Okay, well, we're out of here. We'll be back in a couple minutes here on The Instigators. I'll do it like Duffer does it. WGR Sports Radio 550 and MSG. I like when you do that.
Thank you.
Hockey talk that hits. This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rave.
It's 11:52. So in honor of Craig Rave, we'll do our Game 7 picks for tonight.
Oh,
I'll tell
yeah.
you what. Toronto.
All I want. I don't care who wins Toronto, Boston tonight. I want Drake to show up in Boston wearing a Boston Bruins jersey to confirm that the Drake curse is legit. That's all I want. And then or to deny
Marty,
it.
Marty, if this were part of the interruption, we'd have you on mute for the remaining 2 minutes.
That's not... Is it PTI? Yeah, it is PTI.
No, sorry. It's not. It's around the horn.
It's around
the
horn.
See, we're both
See?
Wrong.
You are muted.
We're both wrong. I'll mute myself. Go
Duffer?
Ahead, Duffer.
Just Game that series picks? Or both?
Both.
Did you pick the other one?
No, I'm waiting for you.
Oh. Well, I originally, on this show, picked Boston and immediately felt guilty and unintelligent about the selection. But here we are, Game 7. So I'd like to say Boston, and I'd like to say Vegas.
I am
and I don't
say,
feel comfortable in either of my selections.
I'm saying Boston and Vegas. That is my pick. I'm sticking to it.
That's All right, everyone out there in Leaf Nation, I will set up shop for one night.
Ugh. I have no idea where
I'm
going to
pitch a tent. I'm going to bring a cooler. I'm going to root for the Leafs tonight.
You are? It's not rooting. It's who you think is going to win.
Yeah, it's a difference.
But I'm picking them. I pick Boston, but I want the Isn't it good for hockey when the Leafs are good?
Did you just say I picked Boston?
Pick the Leafs. Isn't it good for hockey
no,
when the Leafs
it's
are good?
Not.
Then won't they be the last Canadian team standing?
You and your
two
HHR,
Canadians that have.
Let me
HR.
Ask you this:
it's an HRR matter, sure. If you're a player,
are the Leafs very similar to the Yankees in the way that
perception? Yes.
They
Championships,
only are
no,
no
fans,
but they're only
yes.
liked in that region and that
no.
that.
What?
They're global, baby.
They
took
mass.
Over.
Are global?
They
even,
took over the
yeah,
Saddle Dome.
And there's even more American markets where I see the Toronto presence.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, than I would ever expect. Yeah, they are a global phenomenon.
Gary Gramling, Brian Baldinger on with Murph and Tasker on One Bills Live. See you tomorrow, all three of us. We're back.
Oh, Romeo.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.